Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside. Repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Doug hates candy wrappers, screaming baby sticky seeds with 50 ads and popcorn kernels in his teeth. There's still not one that he won't see, 'cause Doug loves movies.
Hey, 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 everybody. My name is Doug, and I'm thankful for movies. This is Doug Loves Movies. It's Sunday, November 12th, 2023. And my guests today are three terrific returning participants, Julia Clare, Josh Gondelman, and Edgar Wright. Welcome, everybody.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Everybody always doesn't know when to speak when that happens. Let's meet all of you individually and alphabetically by first name. Currently visiting us here in Los Angeles, but he's in a separate spot than me. It's Edgar Wright. How you doing, Edgar?
I'm good, Doug. It's nice to be back. It's been far too long since I've been on the show.
Well, as you know, you have a policy where you only come on, when you have something to promote. And we've had this damn pandemic and then these damn strikes. So it's been rough, but I'm excited that you have something to talk about now.
I mean, the truth is I could have come on more, but I don't want to look too available.
I get it. I absolutely get it. You don't need every podcast hounding you. But let's talk about, I got to see the first three episodes the other night. Thank you for that. Of your new, the new Netflix, I'd say a spin on, an animated spin on your classic film, Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah, it was. We had the premiere at Vidiot's on Friday night and showed the first three episodes, and all eight episodes come out on November the 17th. I mean, it's funny. I probably wouldn't. I know people will watch all eight in a row, but I wonder if people's minds will explode if they watch all eight episodes back to back. But that's not up to me. So I'm excited for fans to see it. I was the executive producer on it, and it's basically, you know, a fun way for Brian Lee O'Malley, the original creator, to expand the universe. And so he wrote new scripts with his friend Ben David Grabinski. And then my job was to get the original cast back, which I'm happy to say that I did.
Every single one of them or really good impersonators, and you're tricking us.
No, every single one of them came back, which is I, on one hand, I'm very thankful. On the other hand, I'm surprised myself. I was like, I didn't think we'd get everybody back, but we did. And it's amazing. It's really nice to, not that we all got to be in the same room doing it, because obviously in this day and age, especially with voiceovers, people are recording it all over the world. But it was still just once I started to see the episodes finished and the voices come back in, it was very delightful and a bit emotional as well.
And, you know, judging from the first three episodes, it's turned out terrific. They're really, really fun and funny. And it is great to see that universe expanded. Do you think there'll be this is a gateway to more, or is...
I don't know.
It's the creator is through this.
You know, I'll do the same thing that I did, like when people asked about doing more before, as I said, well, that's up to Brian Lee O'Malley. I mean, I think it's a miracle that this has happened, and especially a miracle to get the cast back. And one of my pet peeves on any project is, you know, we just finished something that's taken years to do. And then the first question is, so second season?
Like, so, yeah. When's there going to be more? What do you want to do for the next 3 years of your life?
And also, people always make that joke. I hate it. Like, about Netflix, they always saying it. Oh, look forward to being canceled, like, immediately. Everybody makes that joke about Netflix, and I didn't want to like give into that at all. So I just think best policy is to say nothing. Enjoy these 8 episodes. That would be my policy.
Yeah, I like it. I apologize for asking that question.
No, I know. You know what? You're actually the first person to ask me. I thought I was going to get asked in every interview. So, it's done now. I've said my piece. Yeah, enjoy these 8, and then let's see.
Yeah, no, that's the thing, is I already have more to watch, and I'm already asking for more in addition to that. It's like I'm in Oliver, and I want 2 bowls of gruel. joining us from Brooklyn, I believe, it's Josh Correct. Gondelman.
Hey, thanks for having me.
You must be terribly excited that the SAG-AFTRA strike is over.
I think it's terrific. I'm like really proud of the collective efforts of both unions. This stuff is making me so sincere. I'm like a terrible podcast guest because just like a flag starts waving behind me and like string music starts swelling. But I am really proud of the solidarity and the support from like across the industry was so emotionally heartening and like practically helpful. And it's something that I think is really going to stick with me for a long time. So I like couldn't be more excited to go back to being like regular unemployed.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have the strikes to blame anymore.
To lean back on for my own failures and shortcomings, Doug.
Business as usual.
Business is classic Gondelman.
Yeah. And, you know, it was fun to see you representing. You popped on my TV a couple of times to represent the WGA and, you know, let the people understand a little more about the complexities of the strike. And so that was nice to see.
Thank you. It was, you know, I felt really happy to like chip in where I could, but I like got a little self-conscious of like, man, people are gonna get sick of my fucking face seeing me. So I was a little nervous that it was like too much Josh going on, but I think people were very kind, and I think a lot of people reached out to say that it like helped them kind of get their arms around the issue. So I'm like really grateful for that chance. It is, you know, it was my biggest TV credit in years. I was on TMZ. It was like local unemployed man has grievances.
That's got to be pretty surreal talking to the TMZ guys standing there with their arms folded and their water bottles.
It was really wild. Like I talked to TMZ. I did Emrata's podcast to talk about the strike. So it was like a very fascinating like stratosphere of media to be put in a way that like I'm like, please let me go back to being a comedy dumbass and let me stop being a labor agitator. And I think we got there. I'm back to like regular. I've recalibrated back to dumbass.
We're back, and it was so fast because you know, I'm friends with Ben David Grabinski, and he was at the screening the other night, and when he saw me there, he goes, "What are you doing here?" Like, because, you know, we weren't supposed to go to those sort of things during the strike. Mm-hmm. And then he remembered, oh, right, the strikes are over.
It's over.
Or maybe he just didn't want me there. I don't know. But
it felt very... I was out at a stand-up show when I got the, like, news alert that the strikes are over. And I felt like,
what day is it, boy? It's the strike's over day. Just like leaning out a window. Be like, you can promote your films now, child. Don't you see?
Also joining us and newish to LA from New York City, it's Julia Clare. Hey, Julia.
Hey, Doug. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here as the person representing all of the people who did get extremely sick of Josh's face. you know, there's a whole group of us who just have been saying too much Josh for months.
Mm-hmm. My family, you, yeah, it's a group chat.
yeah I mean, yeah, it's a WhatsApp group at this point. It's gone international.
I loved your recent X post, you know, formerly Twitter, about Sofia Coppola movies.
Oh, thank you. I just saw Priscilla the other night, so
that's what inspired it.
Have you seen it?
I have not seen it yet, no.
It's beautiful. Nothing happens. but it's gorgeous to look at. It's kind of like one long music video.
You're actually making me excited about it because I certainly don't think there's that much to her story that I don't already know.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. I mean, it's great to look at. And there are definitely a number of times where you get to, you know, there's a sequence of events or shots where you're like, wow, I'm watching a Sofia Coppola movie. And that's always nice.
Well, do you mind if I quote your tweet?
Let's go.
Sofia Coppola loves to make a movie about a beautiful woman trapped in a house because of a guy who sucks.
Yeah, it's true.
And then you have pictures. So you have pictures from The Beguiled, Lost. You actually back it up with the evidence. Lost in Translation, Marie Antoinette, and Priscilla.
Well, and no, the first one is Virgin Suicides. The Beguiled is flips that script on its head, where it's a bunch of women trapping a man in a house.
Right. Okay. That's right. I saw the picture.
Woke Hollywood.
I know.
Yeah, that's true. They had Colin Farrell was sort of trapped, but he still was a guy who sucks, I think.
He was a guy who sucks. And that's the through line to every great movie, is a guy who sucks.
Yeah, it's like I was watching her movie somewhere going, when is Steven Dorff going to suck? But instead, they just play tennis.
I thought for a second there you were going to say the through line to every great movie is the guy gets his leg chopped off.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that is usually denotes a good movie. Misery being a good example.
Yes.
Although it's just hobbled, not chopped off.
Right.
Like the book.
I need every movie to involve Nicole Kidman saying, get me my anatomy book.
She says it in a crazy amount of her films. It's wild.
I know.
Weird that it came up in that pre-movie promo that she's been doing for AMC.
Oh, the AMC promo.
Even amputation feels good in a place like this.
That's right.
That's her ad for morphine. She's a America's morphine spokeswoman now.
Wait, you nearly had the acronym right there. AMC, America's Morphine something.
Cinema. Oh,
there you go. America's Morphine Cinema. Is that what it stands for?
Mm-hmm. It is.
It should, because they've gotten so crazy with the comfortable seats that you know, you can recline so much. It's like they're just begging you to go take a nap, you know.
And actually, you can get a morphine IV if you for like a little upcharge. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be so comfortable in our new recliners that if you get amputated, you won't even notice.
They just take people's legs while they're sleeping through a movie. Before we play some games today, I'd like each of you to please recommend a movie. And this month, I'm asking for Thanksgiving movies, which means either a movie about Thanksgiving or just a movie that would be perfect to watch on Thanksgiving. And, you know, I know that's not really a thing for you, Edgar, but on the other
hand... No, I mean, you really threw me like... The one thing that means nothing to me as a British person.
But you've managed to make a film that has the word pilgrim in the title.
It's true. It's true. The Canadian Thanksgiving is on a different day, though, right?
That's true. I think they already had theirs.
It's in October, something stupid like that. Sorry to all the Canadians out there, but
no, you were right to say it. Let them take offense. They got to hear someday. Sorry.
They got to hear that their Thanksgiving is too early and it sucks. Boo.
Let's. Why don't you ask the Americans first, and I'll see what leftovers there are.
Oh, okay, that's fair. Leftovers that is the perfect word.
Yeah, I know. In the spirit of Thanksgiving.
I know. I made a joke.
That was crazy.
Oh, I forgot. I thought you were changing the subject to the TV show, The Leftovers. Josh, do you want to you want to go ahead and step up?
Sure, I would love to. I just saw a movie that is about the themes of family togetherness, which I think is a real Thanksgiving vibe, and it's about kind of reconnecting with your roots and coming to love each other despite your differences or your intense similarities. So I'm here to recommend Dix the Musical, starring, written by Josh Sharp and Aaron Jackson, starring them and Nathan Lane and Megan Mullally. It's a musical. It's super funny. It is good to watch at Thanksgiving, thematically, I think. Bad if you have parents that don't want to see two identical twins who may or may not have sex with each other. So not to spoil it, but the movie was initially called Fucking Identical Twins, so it was right there in the title. It's super funny. It's the Nathan Lane, Megan Mullally like intro songs are like put them in a museum masterpiece. It's great.
Yeah, and I also really loved Meg Thee Stallion's number.
She was great. Yeah, really fun. I like, she's so charismatic, and I'm so glad that they like found, like carved out a great space for her in that too. It was really fun.
Yeah, you can't, I since I saw it, I just won't stop talking about Dix because it is such a fun movie, but it's also just fun to bring up around, you know, polite company.
Josh has been posting like some wild reviews they've been getting on like Letterboxd and IMDb and stuff. People being like, this is the work of Satan himself.
Yeah, they really lean into posting the horrible things that people are saying because they're so dumb.
It's great.
Okay, so that's a perfect Thanksgiving movie. Julia, what do you have one that people should watch on Thanksgiving?
Well, I mean, I feel like the classic Thanksgiving movie is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's come up, yeah.
And that one is great. I think if you're trying to divert from that a little bit, and you want to get in the real spirit of Thanksgiving, you should watch one that I have just watched, Martin Scorsese's Killers of the Flower Moon. to really reflect on the horrors of being an American. Or if you want to go like,
I love that the two choices you gave your family to watch at Thanksgiving are Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Killers of the Flower Moon.
That's right.
What and kind I of say, day do you want to have, Nana?
Yeah, exactly. And that is the vibe at every Thanksgiving. It's very, it's a real Russian roulette situation.
How do you want to do this, Dad? The easy way or the hard way?
Some people, I think, would recommend American football movies. I reject that. There's enough football on Thanksgiving to begin with. And I don't condone it. I don't support it. I think that instead of watching football, we should be feeling deep amounts of shame and regret.
Yeah, we should be watching. We should be watching the movie Concussion.
That's right. Or that's right. We should be, if we're going to go back to like puritanical America, that version of The Crucible with Daniel Day-Lewis.
Okay. These are all fantastic picks. I need you to select just one.
You're right. You know what? You're right. Okay. You know what? Crowd pleaser. Kind of sad and funny. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay. Now I'll tell you why that's not a good Thanksgiving movie.
Okay.
Wow. The bait and switch.
Honestly, I love this, and I'm ready to be wrong. Let's go.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're absolutely not wrong because everybody points to it for, it's the number one movie that people have been saying to me that they think of as a Thanksgiving movie, which makes sense. But me, as a traveling comedian for the past million years, movies of travel inconvenience, where that's the main plot thing
Oh,
that
yeah.
keeps reoccurring through the whole movie, and especially on Thanksgiving Day, I don't really, it's more of a people trying to get home on Thanksgiving movie. Which doesn't make it bad. It's a classic. It's a hilarious movie. But and again, it's the one everybody says is as a Thanksgiving movie because there really aren't. That's part of why I'm doing this is because of the, I mean, Eli Roth, of course, is stepping up with his Thanksgiving movie. But it's a genre, there's just not that many movies that are specifically Thanksgiving movies, or certainly not ones that are terribly memorable. But you're not wrong, Julia. It's a terrific choice. Edgar,
Okay, I
what's
got
your
one.
leftover?
Well, it's funny, I wasn't gonna, it's funny, I am gonna see Thanksgiving this week. So I can't pick that one because I haven't seen it yet, but I'm seeing it like in a couple of days. And it's funny because as a Brit, I've always been baffled when I'm in the States because Thanksgiving and Christmas are so close together, and I find it like just head-spinningly confusing. It's like, wait, why do you guys have two Christmases so close together? It doesn't make any sense. So it's frequently baffled me. So I, it's something, and also what's weird is that you have turkey for Thanksgiving, whereas we have turkey for Christmas. And what do you have for like ham for Christmas Day? What do you do here, or have Chinese food?
And we just have a lot of people just have turkey again, but yeah, ham is another way to go or take
Thank you.
out.
Thank you for recognizing the Jewish tradition of
Yes,
Chinese
I
food at
know that.
Christmas.
You
Thank you,
know why?
Edgar.
You know why? Is times that I spent the
You're an
last time I
ally.
was it no, I went the last I do have some Jewish heritage many, many generations back, but
Okay, wow.
I have observed when I was last in the States for Christmas in New York, I had, Chinese a Chinese meal on Christmas Day, which was fantastic. So I'm well aware of that and the movies part.
It's great. It's a great tradition. It's you won't find it inscribed in the scripture, but I think we could tack it on at the bottom.
It's weird, yeah, because cinemas in the UK are closed on Christmas Day. Like they close on Christmas Eve evening, and they don't reopen until, yeah, I don't think you even call the 26th Boxing Day over here, do you?
No.
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 I have a film
Julia's
though. I
so
have a film.
dismissive.
No. No,
I'm
sorry.
sorry.
Sorry. Your
I
country's
say.
not real.
But what's weird though, we don't have Thanksgiving in the UK, but we have inherited Black Friday, which is really strange because it's like we have that without the Thanksgiving, which is bizarre.
But you guys also have the tradition of Sunday roast, right? Roast dinner
Like, well, yes, every week, so it's not
every
a big
week.
deal.
So it's like, no, I know. So it's not a big deal, but like, I feel like that's, I don't know. I feel like that's something that we don't have. So it's like Thanksgiving is such a big deal because we don't have this like big,
Culture. You're
right. We don't
saying
have culture.
that the Brits are insane for having Thanksgiving every Sunday.
That's right.
What do you,
I
Black
have a
Friday every
film. I have a
Friday?
film. I have a film, and it relates to one of Julia's potentials. I have a different Martin Scorsese film as a Thanksgiving movie. Is his rock concert film, The Last Waltz, with the band's farewell concert, because I think that was a concert that took place on Thanksgiving in like 1976. So it is technically a Thanksgiving movie. And the only time I ever saw it, I was on a road trip from New York to LA, like in 2007, and I was in Nashville on Thanksgiving, and they happened to be playing that film at midnight. So I was thinking, oh, I'm going to go and see The Last Waltz at the Belcourt. Because obviously I didn't have any Thanksgiving plans because I didn't know anybody in Nashville. And so I was happily watching that film instead. So that's my Thanksgiving movie.
Well, I
That's a
love
good
that
one.
theater and I love that choice. I've been hearing, like, because I asked this question on my socials and people have been saying Last Waltz, and I was a little perplexed by it because it's even hard to imagine that it was on Thanksgiving, because these days nobody does a concert on Thanksgiving in the United States, because I think they should. I think people would still go, but they just don't. So I didn't think of it as a possible Thanksgiving movie, but people have been saying it. So thank you for clarifying.
Yes.
And if you know, and if you can't get a hold of The Last Waltz, I'd say Edgar's Sparks movie would be you know, also suitable Thanksgiving entertainment.
Why would you say that? Just in the spirit of what?
Great concert films.
Okay,
it's
good.
A great like concert that. Films thing.
Okay, I like it. Thank you.
Yeah, because you know, Stop Making Sense just celebrated a massive anniversary, and that of course is also an amazing concert film. Another genre where there's a lot of really good ones, but it's not as I'll move on to that maybe in the coming weeks. Ask people about their favorite music documentaries. But thanks for these recommendations, and we've got some games to play, which we will do right after this.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
We're back. The first game we're going to play today, out of two, is called Purple Rain Man, Deluxe Edition. Purple Rain Man is a mashup movie title game. I'll give you the names of actors in two films, and then you have to guess the mashup title that would result. We'll start with the third billed person from each film, and then Edgar gets to take a guess or pass, because these aren't easy at that level. You know, the third billed person from two random movies might be hard to figure out. But if he passes or guesses wrong, then we move on to Josh. And then, if necessary, Julia. And whenever somebody gets one right, the next round will start with the next person. And I think that's everything you need to know. Oh, first person with two correct answers wins. And are you ready, Edgar?
I'm ready.
All right. What movie? I think you'll be good at this, but we'll see. What movie do you think has the third build actors? The first film of the mashup title would be Josh Brolin, and the second one is James Coco.
Oh my god.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
So at this point, you know, it's no, there's no shame in passing, because it is difficult to.
So you don't want me to spitball titles if I don't have it, move on.
Because you don't
want
to accidentally give away half of the correct answer.
James Coco is a tough one.
Yeah.
I will pass.
Okay, let's go to I'm sorry, Josh.
Okay.
What do you think?
Oh, I guess also on the third build actors.
If you want to, yes. If you think you know it.
I don't think I know it.
Okay.
I can't picture James Coco. I'm just picturing the movie Coco. Being like, probably the real first name is James.
What do you think, Julia? Any ideas at all?
Oh my god. Josh Brolin being third billed.
Yeah. It happened a few times, I think. Oh. Maybe.
Wow, drag his ass.
no, he takes interesting roles that aren't necessarily the lead.
No. I know. He's wonderful. Josh Brolin, I know you're listening, and I just want to say all my love and respect to you.
I did stand up once where he was sitting in the front row at the front table in a small club, and him and Minnie Driver were there together.
Whoa.
And no smiles cracked during my comedy. I was like, get out of here, you goonie.
Okay. All right. So I think Josh Brolin, I would say he was probably third billed in No Country for Old Men.
Sure.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And James Coco, I don't know who that is.
All right. So this fair, we'll move on to the next level. And Edgar gets to go first again, and we're going to add two more names. In the first film with Josh Brolin is Elizabeth Shue, and in the second film with James Coco is Sophia Loren.
Oh my God! What has Josh Brolin and Elizabeth Shue in it? People at home are screaming at this point.
No, this is, they're edging. This is so good for them. They love this.
Sam Levine is at home frothing in the mouth right now. I don't know. I you got me on this one. I have to pause again.
Okay. Josh, anything?
It's Elizabeth Shue is the actress from the first movie. And then the second one is Sophia Loren.
Loren, yeah.
I guess my best guess, and this is not a very good guess, but I'm gonna go No Country for Grumpy Old Men.
That doesn't, the mashup is more specific, more perfect than that. There's no extra word in there, but I still love that guess though.
Yeah, I thought it'd be fun to say out loud. I don't regret it.
Yeah, no, it's the kind of mind we need in this situation. Julia, where are you at with this?
Okay. All right, the only Sophia Loren movies I think I know are... She was in Marriage Italian Style and La Mancha?
Yes, she was in those, I think.
Okay. I don't know what movie contains Elizabeth Shue and Josh Brolin. The people
I know,
at
it's a pair that's interesting because they both obviously are in a lot of movies we all know.
Right.
But it is weird it's hard to picture them together for some reason.
She's not in, I don't think she is in Old Country.
I don't think so either.
No Country for Old Men.
Certainly not billed above Josh Brolin.
Yeah. The people at home are taking out their rifles and shooting them at the ceiling.
No, it's
I'm
okay.
Sure they must
no,
know.
This is a difficult game.
Yeah, this
and,
is, I truly
but you will. You will all, one of the three of you will arrive at the answer in mere moments because we'll move on to the top build.
Okay.
Edgar gets the first crack at this. We got Josh Brolin, Elizabeth Shue, and Kevin Bacon, plus James Coco, Sophia Loren, and Peter O'Toole.
Oh.
Oh my God.
Okay. I can, so by process of elimination, I think Julia mentioned one of these movies. And this is a film that I haven't thought about in a long time. So I've completely blanked out the fact that Josh Brolin is in it, but I remember
right.
And Kevin Bacon together.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that the film together is Hollow Man of La Mancha.
That is correct.
Oh my nice. God.
Wow.
I haven't, I will say, I have never seen Man of La Mancha. I've definitely heard of it, but I've never actually seen it. And I've seen Hollow Man when it came out and never again.
All right. Well, Edgar got the first point. That means, Josh, you get the first, you get to go first in this next round.
All that game proved is that all three of us have complete face and name blindness for James Coco.
Yeah.
No disrespect to James Coco.
You disrespected him. We've disrespected
no,
him.
No, I'm actually going to say all disrespect to James Coco.
Wow. Okay.
Sure.
Give him all of it. My biggest James Coco memory, because I watched it a million times when I was a kid, is he plays the Hercule Poirot character in Murder by Death.
I love Murder by Death. I'm not sure maybe it holds James up on a Coco. PC level. Since
it does
not. I know. There's at least one character who's in doing some cultural appropriation.
They'd have to cut out entire characters.
But I remember liking it as a kid. Let me say.
It's a very cute movie for children, for sure. Children that don't know yet how awful things are in terms of very, very racist casting decisions. But let's go ahead and start with Josh with this third. And, you know, go ahead and, you know, you don't have to dwell on it too long because these are pretty difficult. Okay. And especially this one might be difficult because we've just established that most of us don't know much about James Coco. Third build is someone named Harriet Dyer.
Oh.
Yeah. And then James Coco once again.
No.
James Coco, third villain. Just a classic Coco spot on the call
he
sheet.
He gets the spot, Because he is probably like the Sancho Panza character in Man of La Mancha, I'm guessing. So that's why he was third build in that one.
Maybe this was the spin-off Sancho Strikes Back. I'm gonna pass.
Okay, Julia, what do you think? Anything?
Also have to pass. This
I've given you nothing to work with.
I absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Okay.
The James Coco estate is so mad right now.
Yeah.
I'm also gonna pass. I don't
he's
know.
He's no longer with us, so that worked out.
Yeah.
We're lucky there. Okay, so we got
dodged a bullet.
Pass, which makes
sense. I hope he didn't die by a bullet. That would be horrifying.
When I play this game live, I just say all the names, and then the first person who thinks of it just yells it out. But it's hard; it's harder to do, over the phone. So that's why I give everybody a chance. Okay, so second build, and we can, we'll see what Josh has to say about this, because it's Oliver Jackson Cohen.
Okay,
you know Oliver Jackson Cohen, and
Oliver Coco, I call him for short,
and Sophia Loren.
Oh my God. Again.
Oh boy.
Okay, let's just jump right to the top build people.
Yep.
Josh gets first crack at it.
Okay.
So the first movie has those two people that, I know none of us are particularly familiar with. And then, but top build is Elizabeth Moss. And in the second movie with James Coco and Sophia Loren is Peter O'Toole.
Okay. Gosh,
wait, did you
of...
just say the same three people in the second film for this?
Is it,
there's
three,
another film with Sophia Loren, Peter O'Toole,
is it
and James Coco.
Her smell Maybe? Of La Mancha.
I love it, but no. Julia?
Oh my God.
I know you're just flying through that Rolodex of Elizabeth Moss movies.
Yeah, fuck.
Do you have it yet, Edgar?
Well, I have something.
Don't
but
say
then...
anything yet. Still Julia's turn. I was just curious if you were figured it out.
Yeah, just putting the pressure on Julia. Hardcore.
Yeah, what the hell? wait, is the second one again Man of La Mancha?
I can't answer that question at this time.
Because I'm just trying to think of... Because I didn't see this movie, but I know she had a movie with the name Man in it. It was Invisible Man, I think. So Invisible Man of La Mancha?
That is correct.
Wow!
That's what I was going to say when he said, did you have something? I said, I do if the answer is Man of La Mancha a second time.
I loosened that jar a little bit.
I was like, surely there's no way that James Coco and
Sophia Loren, Peter O'Toole,
up again.
That cast was so electric, they had to reunite them.
Okay, so we're back to Edgar for this third round.
If it's Man of La Mancha again, I'm gonna kill you.
Third round starts with Sam Neill and James Coco.
No.
Okay.
Is it Edgar's turn first, right?
Yeah.
Is it me first?
Yeah.
Not sure. Pass.
Okay.
This is my guess.
Josh.
I'm going to take a stab and say Jurassic Park of La Mancha.
No. Julia?
Yeah, I don't know any other Sam Neill vehicles other than Jurassic Park.
Yeah, those Jeeps that they drove around.
Yeah. Which I've always, and this is controversial, but I've always said that the Sam Neill character in Jurassic Park was meant for Bill Paxton. But that's just something that I needed to get off my chest. That has nothing to do with...
Is that lore or is that fan casting? Is that like headcanon?
No. That's my okay. Personal casting.
You need somebody looking at these dinosaurs just going to be like, this is fucking crazy, man!
Yeah. No, I don't know.
No guess?
I don't know. I truly don't know any other Sam Neill movies besides Jurassic Park.
Well, he's been in a few of them, so it's good.
Omen 3, The Final Conflict. There's one.
Yeah.
Of La Mancha.
Of La Mancha. Event right. Horizon of La Mancha.
We're back to Edgar. And second build in the Sam Neill vehicle is M. Beth Davids.
No.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And second build in the other movie, of course, is Sophia Loren.
Oh, what I thought it was, it is not. So I have to pass again. I thought I had it, and then you confused me with the second bill person. So can I tell you what I thought it was going to be?
Yes, please.
Memoirs of the Invisible Man of La Mancha.
Because
I'm pretty sure Sam Neill is in that. But then I thought, fuck, I was Chase, expecting right? you to say Daryl Hannah, and then you fucked me, so pass.
Sorry about the fucking Josh.
I'm just going to go with another man movie.
Okay.
Steph Curry for 3 on the off the dribble. Glimmer Man of La Mancha.
I would
is
hope
the first
that,
person Steven Seagal.
I would hope that Steven or... Keenan Ivory Wayans would make the top 2 on that one.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Julia, anything?
I'm going to go with the Jason Segel, Paul Rudd vehicle. I Love You, Man of La Mancha. I don't know.
These are all great answers, but incorrect, unfortunately. But the top build should do it for you, Edgar. The first movie has Sam Neill, M. Beth Davids, and Robin Williams.
Oh.
Oh, okay. My God.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know what it is. Okay. It's Bicentennial Man of La Mancha.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Wow. I apologize for putting in something that's about our bicentennial.
Why do you
that's
keep
so
doing
rude.
This to me? It's fucking Thanksgiving and your bicentennial, for fuck's sake.
That robot would kick the shit out of a windmill, though.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations, Edgar. You won Purple Rain, man. That means
tough.
You get to go first in our next game, which we will play right after this break. We'll be right back.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
We are back, and it's quite an exciting matchup today. I still think it's anybody's game. the order switches around on this one. So, but since Edgar won, he gets to go first. So it's going to go Edgar, Julia, and then Josh. And it's a game I call The Little Search Engine That Could. In this game, I type a word into the search engine on IMDb, and then I write down the top the current top 10 movies, because they've got that algorithm where they give you the most searched 10 movies. I have the list of the 10 movies with that word in the title. You'll each take turns guessing movies with that word in the title. So it does narrow it down somewhat to words, movies with that word. And if your movie is number one on the list, you get 10 points. If it's number 10 on the list, you get 1 point. And then, you know, there's all those points in between 9, 8, 7, 6, like that. And
what are the other ones?
8, 7, 6, 7, 7. You know, it's nine gets, the second highest on the list gets 9 points, third gets 8, etc., down to 1 point for number 10. And was 3 rounds. So you each get 3 guesses, but we'll take turns. And the show normally has a no cops policy, but today, I don't think I've ever had any police on the show, but today the word is cop, and that's just cop, not cops, not fuzz, just cop, singular. Movies, there's a lot of movies with the word cop in the title. Edgar, you're up first.
Okay,
what do you think? Number one.
Beverly Hills Cop.
Number two.
That was number two?
Number two, 9 points. Edgar's on the board.
Okay.
But still anybody's game. Julia?
RoboCop.
That is a fantastic guess, but at this time, it is not in the top 10.
No!
Wow. That's shocking. Shocking. Shocking.
I worry you might be dinged because RoboCop is spelled out like one word.
Oh, okay. Wait,
I just typed in cop, so you want to try something else?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Beverly Hills Cop 2.
That is a terrific guess that somehow did not make the top 10.
I deserve that.
No, you're just playing smart.
It was a really smart guess. And, you know, I'm not going to tell anybody what to do, but Josh, I think you know what to do.
Beverly Hills Cop 3?
See, I was trying to get you off of that concept because, no, it's not on the list either. Edgar's going to run away with this thing unless he says Beverly Hills Cop 4 currently in production. what's your second guess, Edgar?
Well, I'm still trying to think what number one is. That it's going to bug me what's more famous than Beverly Hills Cop with that title. So I'm going to go for a lesser known one. What about Copland?
Indeed, that's number one.
It
no,
is!
Oh my God. No, it is not.
That was legit what I was going to guess before you said you know what to do.
How is Copland more famous than Beverly Hills Cop? That's astounding to me. Okay, good.
I got to guess because it's, you know, it's IMDb. So it's people searching for things. And I'm guessing that James Mangold's recent movie, people looking into that.
I thought you were going to say that it's because James Mangold was searching himself on IMDb. I'm sure he doesn't do that if you're listening, James.
Yeah, James. Turn this off. This is probably not good for you. You don't need to listen to this. All right. Wow. So
I feel like numerically, he is running away with it.
Well, I do have another guess.
Okay.
Paul Blart, Mall Cop.
Number five on the list.
Hell yeah. Go. Let's go.
Yeah. Julia's on the board for 6 points. It's really a fight for second place at this point.
Julia's going to take it. I am blank, man.
That's, you don't have any other movies that have the word cop in the title?
I'm going to have to go Paul Blart Mall Cop too. Although I know it sounded cheap to say I would have said Copland, but that was truly the only one in my brain.
I didn't think it would be number one, but it's certainly the word cop is really...
I wonder if it's because it starts with cop is why it's number one. Because people for looking for Beverly Hills Cop start with Beverly and then it comes up.
Yeah, I don't know about this. I don't know what the deal is with their algorithm. But I do know that Paul Blart Mall Cop 2 not only is the rare sequel where the number comes after the colon, it is also number 8 on the list.
Hey. Okay, he's on the board.
Yeah,
I got one.
You got 2 points, Josh. Let's see what Edgar's just trying to punish everybody.
Yeah,
further.
What the hell, Edgar?
What about Kindergarten Cop?
You know, of course, it is number 3 on the list.
Yes! Oh, I am killing it.
I mean, this might be, you just achieved the, you know, the first time anybody's gotten a perfect. This is as close as you can get to a perfect.
They call that the Peter O'Toole, Sophia Loren, James Coco trio.
yeah, Kindergarten.
I am the MVP of La Mancha.
Yeah. Yes.
27 points. That's like, you know, that's like on a dance competition, an amazing score. all right, so. We'll go to Julia. Let's see if they, you know, you can prevail over Josh. You have 4 more points than him at this point. Can you think of any other cop movies?
Wasn't there that? I don't know. Wasn't there that movie like Let's Be Cops?
There was. Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
But that's why I said at the beginning, no cops, just cop.
Oh, it's just cops.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wait, I have
no cops.
Okay,
I have one now.
Okay.
Oh, good, good. But you wait your turn, Josh.
Yeah, wait your turn, Josh.
I'm just trying to put the pressure on Julia again.
I keep thinking of, again, I've never seen, I keep thinking of movie titles, but they might just be like 30 Rock jokes. like I kept, like, my first thought, I was like, oh, Good Cop, Baby Cop, but that's not a real, but there's got to be a movie called Good Cop, Bad Cop or something.
You would think so, yes, but if there is, it didn't land in the current top 10.
All right, well, I you know what, I went down in a,
it was
in
a fun a, guess
in
yeah.
a flame of glory.
Yeah, you didn't go out with something obvious.
Yeah.
And Josh has something, so that's
extra
pressure.
Time Cop.
That's another excellent answer that did not make the top 10.
Alas. Wow. Maybe because it's run together like RoboCop.
Yeah, like RoboCop. Yep.
Oh, is it one word?
I think the title is one word, yeah.
Yeah, so it's one of them. It's a camelback. They call words with a
I would
capital
think
letter
Cop
in the
Land.
Middle.
I've never seen Cop Land, but I would think that it would be one word, but I guess it's not.
No, it's two words, and you know, it's a very manly movie, so I don't blame you for not being aware of it.
Well.
But Janine Garofalo's in it.
Okay.
But she plays a cop.
Oh no. Bested again.
Yeah. She got so typecast as like racist cops for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. So congratulations, Edgar. You did win the game. You did
oh,
it.
Oh, I had another one. I thought it was my round again.
Okay.
I got two more cop titles, I thought.
No,
okay, let's
don't.
Hear it. Let's hear it.
Well, they're both far less well known than the ones I've already said. One I can think of is the Burt Reynolds film Cop and a Half.
Yep, number 10.
Oh my God.
Can I go with my last one just to like this one's not going to be on there, but there is a Michael Keaton film called One Good Cop.
Oh yeah, that didn't make the list.
Okay, that's very
that's not on there.
Okay,
but I love it that you got 4 out of the top 10.
I love that Cop and a Half was in the top 10.
it's one of my all-time favorite titles because it's just that's just such a silly thing. And you know, and I love Burt Reynolds, but that movie was rough. Okay, so let's for everybody that's excited to know what titles were missed. There's three titles.
I tell you what, give us clues, like of an actor, and then we can guess.
Oh,
Edgar, I'm gonna reach through this screen and kill you.
Listen, I'm not on the show very often. Let me have this. I literally haven't been on for like 6 years.
This is really an exercise in humiliation for Josh and me over here.
It only happens every 6 years when I come on the show.
Yeah.
I'm trying to this first one to give you a clue is hard for me because I don't the only actor I know I think is the titular character, and I think it was played by Joe Spinell.
Oh, he's the titular character?
I think so.
Oh, I know what it
I
is. I know what it is.
what is it?
Maniac Cop.
Yes.
Wow.
Maniac Cop came in at number nine.
I don't think he's the titular character, but he's in it, I think.
Oh,
I don't think
okay.
he I think I know the name of the actor who plays Maniac Cop. Is that crazy?
Is he trying to stop the Maniac Cop?
No, but Robert Zadar, I think that's his name, is the guy who plays the Maniac Cop. He's
Oh,
got that
okay.
crazy jaw.
Of
Sorry,
course.
guys.
Of course. I'm sure Josh and Julia are just reminiscing about Maniac Cop.
Yes, we really are. We're actually texting
Yeah, we're
silently.
texting about it. Julia brought me into the thread of people who are sick of me on WhatsApp, and we're all
That's
texting about
true.
Maniac Cop.
Okay, so coming in, so then Paul Bart 2 was 8, and then number 7 is a I'll just say it's a buddy comedy with the word cop in it.
Cop out?
Yes.
Ah, there you go, Kevin Smith.
Cop Out with Bruce Willis and
Tracy
Tracy
Morgan.
Morgan. Yeah. Okay, and then coming in at number 6, I can't give you any clues other than I don't believe it's in English. Because I'm not familiar with it, but I love the title. It's called The Gangster, the Cop, the Devil.
Do not know that one.
Yeah, but the three of those should get together.
Or are they
Work
one
some things out.
guy?
I was just gonna
Okay.
say
Trying to be
that. I
pulling
was just
John
gonna
Dean too
say
political.
they give away the split personality twist in the title. Okay, and then number 4, there's no way anybody would have gotten this, and I'm sure it's not being searched for the right reasons. It's a motion picture that's, and sometimes my guests will just guess the word itself and score some points as a result. That didn't happen today, but it's a movie that's just called Cop. And
Oh, with James Woods.
James Woods, yeah.
Oh no.
The David Copperfield biopic.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, like if there was a cop movie that had Scott Baio in it, it would probably be in the top 10 right now.
Right.
But you know, that's just politics, you know, seeping into our beloved movies. But congratulations again to Edgar Wright. Would you like to I guess we'll just say Scott Pilgrim Takes Off again, but is there anything else you want to say about it?
I mean, I would say don't read anything about it, just watch it. It's got lots of surprises in it. So, if you're already interested in seeing it, don't read any reviews or anything else on the internet. Just watch it on November the 17th and be delighted and surprised and maybe shocked.
Yeah, maybe. It's interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing you know, seeing the chatter about it and how people feel about it. You know, it's just, yeah, I don't want to say too much about it, but I have lots of thoughts. Julia Claire, thank you for being here. What would you like to promote?
Wow. Well, I mean,
It's an honor just to be nominated.
it's incredible to be here. The strike is over. No, I write the What a Day newsletter for Crooked Media, which is like the daily news, a rundown of the daily news with jokes. You can just it's crooked.com/daily if you want to subscribe to it. I'm doing stand up around LA if you want to follow me on Twitter. It's at O Julia Tweets. That's pretty much all I got.
Okay. O-H. Oh, Julia
O
Tweets.
H O Julia Tweets.
Not like
Yeah.
O Henry, though. I guess
Yeah.
also that's OH, but different.
Candy bar or the okay. Josh Gondelman.
I am performing stand-up comedy this Saturday night, November 18th, in Pittsburgh at Bottle Rocket Social Club, one of those. And I also have a newsletter that it will not inform you. It's Pep Talks. I do it every Monday, and it's Pep Talks for readers, people in the news, etc. And that's you can it, the newsletter is called That's Marvelous, and you can find it at joshgondelman.substack.com.
Nice. I have a few things I want to mention. Some Doug plugs. Doug Loves Movies is in San Antonio on Saturday, December 2nd, and Sacramento on Saturday, December 30th. And The Benson Movie Interruption is back in LA at the Dynasty Typewriter on Thursday, November 16th, this Thursday, and then on Sunday, November 26th in New York City. All my dates and deets are at douglowsmovies.com. So I've been ending every episode of this show lately for I don't know how long by just saying, as always, and then the last line of a motion picture. There's lots of classic last lines and then lots of just kind of random last lines. But I thought for this one, I would ask you, Edgar, having written and directed some films, if you have a favorite last line from one of your own movies.
Oh, one of my own movies. Oh my God.
Or it could be somebody else's, but then I worry it'll just be, you know, there's some obvious classic ones that I've done already.
Well, I'm weirdly, given that I'm good on other stuff, I'm straining to remember the last lines of my own movies.
Right? It's a tough question to be asked because it's not like the last line of your movies are like, you know, Billy Wilder, where the entire story is building up to that one great line at the end.
Do you know what my favorite last line of a movie is? I like the last line of Clockwork Orange, which is Malcolm McDowell, like staring down the lens and the voiceover saying, "I was cured, all right."
I was cured, all right.
Yeah, I actually have a photo of him. Somebody gave me like his amazing black and white photo of Malcolm McDowell, and when I met Malcolm, I got him to sign it with that line. So I actually have it in my house, like a photo of Malcolm McDowell with "I was cured, all right," like written on it.
Are you going to watch the recut, the new version of Caligula?
You know what? I had a chance to the other day, and I couldn't make it. So I was actually invited to a screening, and unfortunately, I couldn't spare the 3.5 hours. But I do want to see it. Yes.
It sounds wild because it just sounds like they didn't use any of the original movie's angles. It's just all new angles.
Yeah. No, I'm very keen to see it. I'm hopefully it will get out there. It might be 2.5 hours. I might have exaggerated for comic effect.
It's pretty long. They showed it at Fantastic Fest, and I couldn't squeeze it in. But Leonard Maltin sat through it, which I thought was very, very funny.
Did he change his star rating?
I don't know. I couldn't really get him. He wouldn't say much about it to me. I think it's probably a pretty traumatic experience. But he, you know, Malcolm McDowell was at the festival and Edgar interviewed him. So then he went and watched it with Malcolm. But it's funny to me also that Malcolm McDowell would sit through 3.5 hours of that. You know, it's been a while since he made it. So it's probably an interesting experience. Thank you to everybody. That was such a fun show today. And I hope to speak to you all in person sometime soon. Once again, Edgar Wright, Julia Clare, and Josh Gondelman.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks for having us.
As always, I was cured, all right?
Now it's time for Doug to watch another talkie. Eyes of Gold, his viewing prowess makes him cocky. There's no room in his heart for you, because Doug...